Welcome to the deep dive. You know, think about that silent promise you make, or rather that companies make to you. When you invest, when you use their services, maybe even when you work there.
Yeah, it's all built on trust, isn't it?
Exactly. Trust. And today we're digging into what really holds that trust up in the corporate world.
We are. We're talking corporate governance.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the rule book for how companies are run and kept in check.
Right. And our mission today is to unpack why we even have these roles, what they're trying to do, and importantly, how they protect everyone involved. Shareholders, sure, but also the wider community.
Mm-hmm. We'll look at what happens when it goes wrong, spectacularly wrong sometimes.
Oh, yeah, and then zoom in on things like audit committees, pay committees.
And the role of those independent voices on the board. Crucial stuff.
Definitely. So to really get why this matters, maybe we should start with the horror stories, when governance just fails.
It's where it gets really interesting, yeah. Because these big blow-ups, they weren't just numbers on a page. They were fundamentally about trust breaking down. Accountability just vanishing.
Like Enron, that's the classic one, right?
The classic, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in 2000 in the U.S., this massive energy company.
Yeah.
Huge revenues. Then boom, massive accounting fraud revealed.
And the share price just evaporated.
Plummeted. From over $90 down to pennies. And it took their auditor, Arthur Andersen, a huge firm, down with them, just gone.
Wow. And it's not just a U.S. thing, is it? We had Carillion over here in the U.K. Yeah, more recently.
You did, yeah. 2018. A massive construction company doing loads of government work.
Yeah, I remember that. They just collapsed.
Collapsed under, what was it, $1.5 billion of debt?
Yeah.
And the really galling part, executives were still getting paid huge sums, huge bonuses.
Even while it was clearly going under.
Right. And often there were no clawback provisions. So the money they got, based on dodgy figures, they kept it.
So it wasn't just bad luck or bad markets. It was people making decisions and a system that allowed it.
Exactly. That breakdown of trust, of accountability, it really damaged public faith.
So these scandals, Enron, Carillion, they weren't just headlines. They actually forced change.
Directly. They were the catalyst for things like the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, or SOX in the U.S.
Right, 2002.
And the U.K. Corporate Governance Code. These weren't just about punishing people after the fact. They were designed to prevent it happening again, to make sure companies are run properly for everyone's benefit.
Okay, so we've learned the hard way why we need this. But how does it actually work day to day? These governance codes, they're not always like strict laws, are they?
No, not always. Many systems, especially in the UK, use a comply or explain approach.
Comply or explain, what does that actually mean in practice?
It means companies should follow the code's provisions. But if they choose not to, they have to explain why their alternative approach is just as good or maybe even better for their specific situation.
Ah, okay. So it allows for flexibility but still demands transparency.
Exactly. It pushes boards to really think about governance, not just tick boxes. And underpinning this are key structures, like the audit committee.
Right, the audit committee. Now, if you're an investor, this sounds pretty important. What's their job?
Their main job is to watch over the company's financial reporting, make sure the numbers are accurate, the internal controls work, and crucially, that the external auditors are truly independent.
So who's actually on this committee?
They have to be independent non-executive directors, NEDs, and at least one of them needs solid, relevant financial experience. They're the ones meant to challenge management on the finances.
Okay, independence is key there. And what about pay? Executive pay always seems to hit the headlines.
Mm-hmm. The Remuneration Committee handles that, or REMCO, as it's often called.
And their job is?
To set executive pay that's fair, attracts talent, you know, but not excessive, and a vital principle. No director gets to set their own pay.
Makes sense.
And the pay structures themselves, they should be designed to promote long-term success for the company, not just hitting next quarter's numbers.
And this is where those clawback things come in again.
Yes. Good practice now includes clawback provisions. So if bonuses were paid based on results that turn out to be fake or unsustainable, the company can get that money back. It ties pay to real long-term health.
So we've mentioned these non-executive directors, NEDs, a few times now. They sit on these committees. They need to be independent. What's their overall role on the board? Are they like the board's conscience?
That's a good way to put it, yeah. The corporate conscience. They're there to bring an outside perspective, to monitor what the executive team is doing, and to challenge them when needed.
And that independence is really crucial, you said. How is that protected?
There are rules, They shouldn't have worked for the company recently, shouldn't have major business links, shouldn't have close family ties to top execs. And importantly, their pay is just a fixed fee.
Not linked to share price or profit.
No. No share options, things like that. It avoids conflicts of interest. Their main incentive should be the overall health and reputation of the company, not personal gain tied to short-term performance.
It sounds simple, but I imagine actually challenging a CEO or the rest of the board takes some courage.
It absolutely does. That's probably the toughest part of the job, having the independence and the backbone to ask difficult questions, even when it's uncomfortable.
So bringing this all together, why should you, listening now, care about all these, you know, seemingly quite technical corporate rules?
Because good governance isn't just technical. It means more transparency, better accountability. Companies that are run better tend to be more efficient, more resilient.
Which impacts, well, everything, right? Your investments, your pension funds performance, maybe even your job security if you work for one of these companies.
Yeah.
Or the public services if it's a company like Carillion was.
Exactly. It's kind of the invisible scaffolding holding the whole system together, making it more trustworthy.
So to sum it up, corporate governance is really about making sure companies are run properly, ethically, effectively for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Driven by lessons from some pretty painful failures in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And put into practice through things like audit committees, sensible payrolls, and crucially, that independent oversight from NEDs.
That's the core of it.
Right. So maybe a final thought then. Next time you hear about a company, any company, think beyond just its latest product or its profit numbers. Think about that invisible framework, its governance. How strong do you reckon that framework really is?